Hello and welcome to the Multiverse of Marketing. I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is JR Sweeney.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am here. How are you?
I'm good. I'm mostly here. The other half of me is on vacation, as it is the holidays. Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Happy Life Day to all who observe and boogie down.
Yes. And as I recall, that means turning on VR porn.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
VR porn, terrible disco, CG and green screen effects that will really, really age like a fine mayo sandwich sitting out in the sun.
Delightful. B. Arthur was there.
Corman. Not Roger Corman, but
the funny Harvey.
Harvey Korman. Harvey Korman is there. The Wookiees without subtitles. Very brave move.
I just
coked out Princess Leia. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I will say the thing that always stuck with me from that was the VR porn, because it was a bold choice.
It was a little out there, even for Star Wars.
For Grandpa to just retire to the den to rub one out.
In front of everyone. Listen, when Grandpa wants to do something, you just leave Grandpa to it. He fought in the Clone Wars. You don't ask about it. In terms of Star Wars offshoot multimedia for promotional sake, that was a piece of shit. No doubt. But we're here today to talk about one that actually it has a special place in a lot of people's hearts. But for a very brief... Not Disney's. Not Disney at all. But for a very brief period of time... was the lifeblood of Star Wars. It kept it going. It was the emergency dictator that kept the Republic of Star Wars going and then stepped down, unlike that lying bastard Chief Palpatine.
Yeah, it's really, it's hard to explain if you weren't around for it. The level of hype for this book.
This book, this trading cards, toys, video game, audiobook. This was a completely unique approach, and all to serve one insidious purpose that at the time we had no idea. We were blissfully unaware, and if we knew, oh Lord, if we knew, we certainly wouldn't have bought that fifth X-Wing. We would have waited for the prequel stuff. This is Shadows of the Empire!
Woo!
So, first off, when talking about Shadows of the Empire, it's good to get an idea of where did you come to Shadows of the Empire in the 90s from? Were you a comic book kid, a trading card kid, an action figure kid, a video game kid, or a book kid? Or were you one of the rare children who were like, I'm here for the symphony orchestral organization. That sweet, sweet soundtrack that they did for a book.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
It's a pretty damn good soundtrack, too. I mean, for a Star Wars spinoff,
yeah. Yeah, but it's interesting, people freak out about book trailers and things like that. Why do you have a trailer for a book? Motherfucker, my books had soundtracks, okay?
And the announcement trailer for this was just so out there in the sense of first of all, how dare you not have a movie attached to it? Like, I remember seeing it and being like, oh, there's a new movie. It's like, no, it's just everything except a movie. It's like, yeah. I'm excited but pissed off. Aha!
When Luke Skywalker was most vulnerable.
This is a dangerous time for you. It is you and your abilities the Emperor wants.
When a renegade hero became a friend in desperate need. And a dark villain faced his greatest challenge.
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
When the Empire turned more and more to the forces of the underworld.
Bounty hunters. We don't need that scum.
The underworld moved in to crush the Empire and the Rebellion in a single stroke. After the Empire Strikes Back and before Return of the Jedi, there was a time when heroes and villains alike lived in the shadows of the Empire.
Yeah, well, so it was book. For me, it was book / video game. I bought the book. And I played the ever loving shit out of the video game. I had the N64 game and I sat in my grandmother's basement, play it. Like once I'd beaten the game, I basically just played the last level, the Outrider level, where you're taking down the space elevator.
Mm-hmm.
I played that level over and over. Like, it was just like, I played that on repeat while listening to Sister Hazel and weeping. Like, that was my, you know, weirdly, I didn't go on a lot of dates. But yeah, it was really the video game, but I did own the book and some other stuff, I think. I never had, like, the soundtrack. I think I bought... There was a period of time where Guri got a spinoff comic.
Yeah.
I bought that. But yeah. Like, it was primarily the video game.
Neat. I had, so yeah, like, obviously I had the video game. I think it was the second game I had for the N64. And of course, played it into the ground. I still think I have, like, half memorized the cheat codes for it. Like, so driven into my head were they. And for levels, obviously the first Hoth level, right, that inspired so many other Hoth levels, the first one where you get to fly out and take down AT-ATs and shoot them up and all that, like, sweet Jesus, there was definitely a time where it's like, there's a new Star Wars flight sim game coming out, does it have the Hoth level? No, then it doesn't fucking count, does it?
Yeah.
And to add on to, like, I know what I'm here for when it comes to Star Wars games. My absolute favorite level was the one where you fly around and you're flying around the Star Destroyer. So less the space elevator, more the Star Destroyer. I know what I'm here for. Rogue Squadron stole my heart. I had every Rogue Squadron game. I even have the one for Xbox that is more or less just a loot box collector. I don't care. I'm a whore for flying around in an X-Wing. Always will be, always was. But I was a voracious reader as well, and I think I read the book 3 times, like, in a row. You know, it's like, starved for Star Wars. Nom, 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 nom. And I know that I got a toy. I want to say it was like Darth Vader, and the toys at the time, like, there's a specific line of, like, Shadows of the Empire Star Wars toys, and they came with a mini comic, which was a couple of pages pulled from the actual comic book that they did, but like with like takeaway like it would jump in the normal comic book, it would jump between like A plot, B plot, B plot, A plot, C plot. And it was like, nope, strip, A plot's gone, C plot's gone. Here's just the B plot. So I get like a bunch of Boba Fett pages or something randomly, or which was weird because it like, I know it wasn't the Boba Fett toy that I got. It was the Vader toy, but the comic book was all Boba Fett anyway. Very strange, very odd.
Yeah, because Vader's really not in Shadows to amount to anything. Like, he's there at first when Palpatine is, like, talking. Like, there's some intrigue between Vader and Shizor, but most of it's on Shizor's side. Like, Vader has little to do with the actual plot.
Yeah, it's... So, we'll get into it a bit more later, but I feel like Vader's involvement in this book has a lot to do later with Vader's involvement levels in Rogue One, because he's sort of in there, and then at the very end he comes down and just like fucking smack hammers everyone. It's like, who's left on the playing board? You, cool.
Yeah.
Book's over. Vader has spoken. Everyone dies. If you're not out of the room in 5 minutes, you get whacked.
Yep. Yeah. So it's really, like I said, you can't describe it to someone who wasn't there because it sounds so fucking weird. And it is.
Yeah.
But it's.
And so 90s, because the media blitz was very concentrated, but it was concentrated in a 90s way. Like, okay, there was the trailer, which you could watch on the early internet. Ooh! There was so many ads in, like, magazines and comic books. And there was posters up in comic book stores, video game stores, in actual bookstores. Massive push. Oh, yeah. In bookstores and CD stores for Shadows of the Empire, the soundtrack. They went as hard as they could specifically to test the waters. So where the fuck does something like Shadows of the Empire come from? Well, it comes from George Lucas looking at the clock, realizing it's the early 90s and going, I should probably get around to making more Star Wars. Does anyone still like Star Wars? And the fact that at this point he has hundreds of millions of dollars behind that question, instead of it just being like someone, say a billionaire running a Twitter poll for some fucking reason and then making policy decisions from there, they went out and did market research. And as part of that market research, an executive at Lucasfilm met with an executive from Bantam Publishing. Bantam does all of their, or did all of their Star Wars books for years and years. And at the point, at this time, they were doing like all of the Thrawn trilogy books, and the Rogue Squadron ones were coming up shortly. And they were like, okay, we want to test the waters. We want to do something a little bit bigger than, like, a couple of books coming out or some comic books. We want to make a bit of a splash. And Bantam said, well, why don't you do like a multimedia event? And it was determined that they would essentially do an entire movie's promotional cycle and merchandising without the movie. So just the promotion, just the adaptations, just the merchandise, to see, does anyone still actually give a crap about Star Wars to start with? And then, does anyone want to see new things in Star Wars? Which of these things, which of these Star Wars properties will work the best? Do you only want old Star Wars with Luke, Leia, and Han? Less Han in this case, but Luke, Leia, Chewie? Okay, then we can get an idea that that's what you're after. Do you Are you perhaps interested in new characters being in Star Wars? At this point, it was a legitimate question. Like, Thrawn and Mara Jade were more or less the newest characters, and very few others had been introduced into all of Star Wars and stuck around. Like, Marvel's run had ended. It was dead. It was in the past. No one knew from that survived. Jackson is an embarrassment at this point. We don't fucking talk about Bucky O'Hare.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm trying to remember. Dark Horse had been doing their comics for a hot minute, at least like 3 years, I think, at this point.
Yeah, but they opened so strong with like I can never remember the name of their dark trilogies and stuff, but like it's like Dark Air and Dark Air 2 and shit like that. But yeah. They're great comics.
Dark Empire?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. It was because I read those a while back because I'd missed them back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like so much of it is just the Poe Dameron gif of somehow Palpatine has returned. It's just like, seriously, like we get it. It's another fucking clone.
I know, it's a brilliant scheme this time. I'm going to build what's called a Death Star.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's been done?
But I mean, it sold Lucas on them doing the comics, and they'd been doing them for a few years by this point. And I don't think they'd really done a lot in the way of new characters either. Dark Empire and the like really only had throwaway characters. There were no Dash Rendars or Dr. Aphras or anything like that. It was purely just like the main cast, and then like here's the guy who brings them drinks when they come back from missions, but who the fuck cares about him? So
Yeah, for the most part, like, Star Wars at this time saw a lot of success from, say, taking background characters and enhancing them, like Boba Fett, Wedge Antilles, Crix Maydeen and such. But more or less, like, they were not inventing new characters, and what new characters they invented typically found themselves being fodder.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool, you think that you're part of this main group. You're gonna die, and Chewie's gonna like swear to avenge you. By the hammer of Lothar or some shit?
By Grabthar's hammer.
Grabthar's hammer. Yes. You will be avenged.
By Grabthar's hammer, what a savings! yeah, it was like, you know, at Red Six, you'd have Luke. Chewie would be flying the Falcon, and then. At Yellow Leader, it was Captain Timmy, who just joined the rebellion yesterday and
looks up to Luke no. Like, oh, it's my hero. Yay.
Oh, no. Timmy's gone down. Bye, Nick. Timmy.
Looks like we're going to need another Timmy.
Oh, there it is. Oh, Mr. Lizard. Okay. Anyway.
But yeah, like this. One thing that really stands out about this property, or at least the video game, because he barely appears in the comic book and the novelization, is how hot Dash Rendar was in the late 90s for like Star Wars characters. Like, holy fucking shit. He's just a clone of Han Solo. Like, that's all his character is. He's not even actually interesting like Han Solo. His character arc is, I don't really want to be involved. And at the very end of it, it's, I got out or I died. Yay. Yeah. I don't have to be involved in any more of this fucking Star Wars shit. Yay!
Like, Dash Rendar is the Kirkland signature Han Solo. And like his entire reason for existing is we decided to set a book at a time when Han Solo was unavailable. So here's San Holo.
Yeah.
Like,
please ignore the obvious coincidences.
But he had an awesome ship. The Outrider is awesome. I'm sorry.
The Outrider is awesome. His name is awesome.
Yeah.
His look is just good enough to be like, yeah, that's actually kind of cooler than Han Solo. Like, design-wise, he's very 90s. He's intentionally designed by committee to be cooler. He's almost poochy, but he's not annoying.
he's got shoulder pads.
He's got belts. You know, like, Rob Liefeld.
He's got a beard and like shaggy hair.
Oh no,
like,
no, he doesn't have a beard. He's got stubble. He's got dedicated, perfect 90s anti-hero stubble.
Yeah. You know, he is the 90s, like, he is the platonic ideal of the 90s character.
He's the guy who calls Han Solo a bit of a pussy. Yeah, he's all right, but, you know, he's kind of a pussy.
Well, and the thing that I love is, his official backstory is he's from a wealthy family, so he's just some fucking rich kid who went out and like was just like, I'm gonna get all grizzled, and people were just like, sure, okay Skip, and it's like, call me Dash,
call like, me Dash Radar. No. I like to think that, yeah, he just went back to his life and they were like, where have you been? And he's like, I went to the cottage. What, for the last 5 years? Yes. Jesus. Did you visit? No. It's just this full on like high society family squabble thing. That's all he was running away from. Just I need 5 minutes away from these fucking petty people.
Papa canceled my gold card, and so I had to get out of there. And so like he makes up some, he doesn't even make up a gritty backstory. He just like hints at his dark past, and people are just like, wow, you're so interesting. And inside he's just like, I'm a fraud.
Wait, are you telling me that some rich people are actually full of shit?
You know, I'm sorry you had to find out this way.
I'm shocked. But... shocked and awed. Awed, shocked, and surprised. Awed, shocked, surprised, and not that surprised.
I quite honestly, though, I want them to bring back Dash Rendar now and use our version of him. Like the spoiled rich kid who ran away and became a fake grizzled mercenary. And like... but I wanted... the thing is, like, his one now canon appearance was kind of a throwaway joke about how he's like Han Solo light. And so I want it to go further. I want Dash Rendar to be the spoiled rich kid who's faking his way through it and in the process gets a bunch of people killed. Like, everybody's dying because he's lied about how competent he is. And so it's just like, you know, he winds up like the only survivor of all of this shit. And people are just like, wow. But in fact, it's just because he got everybody else killed.
I like to think that Shadows of the Empire, the video game, is from his perspective, but like, it's not accurate to what happened. It's just what he tells people happened. Oh, anyway, yeah. So then I fought, like, you know, this robot bounty hunter on Ord Mantell. That sucked. And then I defeated a swoop gang. And then I fought a Star Destroyer. And then I helped bring down Black Sun.
Yeah, like, and then it turns out, like, he fucking tripped over his dick and accidentally like ran into something with the Outrider, and it's just like, you're a hero, Dash. Oh, but you died. And he's just like, meant to, like,
I know what I'm doing. I'm fine. It's great.
Let me write Dash Rendar, Disney. Let me do this. Give me a call. I'm free. We can make this happen. It'll be the new Tag and Bing. It'll be amazing.
Yeah. And like, he was, so much of him is the basis of so much of what works now for Star Wars, because like, you can look at like Mandalorian, and so much of that begins with Dash Rendar. It's just take something that you know works about Star Wars, rework it a little bit, and make everything about that, and suddenly you've got a fucking fan bonanza. People go apeshit for just like slightly different variation that corrects all of the things that you may not like about the other version. You know, like, be it aesthetic or character driven. And Shadows of the Empire is really good at that, because it gives us not only Dash Rendar, it gives us a lot of Boba Fett, which is what people at the time were very much for. Like, people are stupid for Boba Fett pretty much always. Shadows of the Empire was like at peak stupid for Boba Fett, but just before Star Wars actually like ramped back up full on.
Yeah.
And it gives us a villain, Ming the Merciless. I mean, Prince Shizor.
Shizor was one of those. First of all, I remember one thing that stands out to me. I have not read the book in 30 fucking years. Okay. The one thing that I absolutely remember is when Shizor meets Leia and he's like wearing some like mesh thing and some like
negligee,
and like it's talking about his dick. Like, she can make out the shape of his dick, and it's like a full paragraph describing his lizard dick, and I'm just like, wow, okay, right in the middle of our Star War, here's some dude's lizard dick.
There's a lot going on in that scene. The lizard dick scene is, of course, you know, it's kind of infamous among Star Wars fans who have been around far too long. And it's not only because
Star Wars fans.
Oh my god. It's not only been around it's not only the lizard dick that's the problem. It's that scene more or less encapsulates the reason why Princess Leia is in the story, regardless of what medium you enjoy it in. She's not in the video game, so that doesn't fucking matter. But Princess Leia is in this story to get seduced and then get used and then become like a trap/damsel. And it's like, it's every single bad cliche about how Star Wars used female characters and Princess Leia wrapped up into one story, which again, though, just makes it a quintessential Star Wars story, especially for the 90s.
Well, it has to be stated. So Shizor has pheromones that drive women crazy.
A couple have pointed out, it is very heterosexual pheromones that only drive women crazy regardless of species. But like, Emperor Palpatine meets him and is just like, yeah, how's it going? Yeah, like, there's no moment of like, I want to bone the fuck out of the green one.
Yeah, like, I want to grab hold of that ponytail.
That would be great. Like, what should be is that Vader hates Shizor and everyone else loves him, and it's purely down to pheromones, and like, Vader's suit filters out the pheromones, and so all he sees is this greasy douchebag, and everyone else is all high on him and shit, like, literally.
Yeah. Vader's just like, what are you talking about?
This guy is such an asshole.
This guy is a prick. why are you all swinging from his nuts? And they're just like, what are you talking about? Shizor's great. Like, I feel like I could talk to him for hours. And Vader's like, about what? Hair gel? What would you possibly have to talk about? The man has a third grade education. Oh, yes. Let us make Shadows of the Empire canon again. It will be amazing.
Hey, Annie, what were you doing in third grade? I had a job!
I had a job working for a stereotype. Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, Shizor. Shizor and the lizard dick. But yeah, and then, like, there's a whole thing about this is how Leia gets her bounty hunter disguise, setting off yet another tradition in Star Wars of, like, a whole lot of effort going into explaining a throwaway thing. Mm-hmm. Like, how did Leia get her bounty hunter costume? I don't know. She bought it? No! There's a whole story, and it's like, why? You know? It's the same thing as with Solo, where it's just like, do you ever wonder where Han Solo got his blaster from? I don't know. It's a galaxy full of them. There's probably a lot of ways. Well, no, there's a very interesting... No,
and actually, I think, looking back and considering Andor, I don't think there's actually a single moment in it where it's like, and that's the story of how this happened. You know, none of, at no point, like, there's a moment where he almost, you feel like he's going to meet that robot, and it's like, oh, so that's how they meet, and it's like, no! Yeah. No, nothing that happens in Andor is anything you fucking heard about. At all. It's entirely
like,
fresh.
I'm only a few episodes in, and it's just a whole lot of like, why is he willing to do the shit he does? Here's why he hates the Empire, and like, cool. I don't need to, like, you know, I don't need, do you ever wonder how he got his name? No.
I assumed that his parents named him. I assumed that their names were the Solos.
It was a random guy. No meaning whatsoever other than he was alone at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is your mind blown? Wow. Do you ever wonder about his dice? What dice?
It's like, the fuck are you talking about? I remember when they first started mentioning the dice, and it was just like, what in the hell? And my mind immediately went to, if I recall, it was either Mad or Cracked Magazine's take on Star Wars. And in that drawing, they have dice hanging from, like, the rear view mirror in the drawing, which is meant to be a throwaway Mad or Cracked Magazine joke about how essentially it's a car. That's it. It's a throwaway. And it's like, you've made an entire like major character / object plot point that turns the Falcon into an actual character that lasts the entirety of this like fucking film series based on that.
Yeah. And like, it's really frustrating because so much of Solo is just explaining random throwaway shit, explaining the dice, explaining a line C-3PO had, and accidentally creating one of the most tragic characters of all fucking time. Right.
Good fucking... the vast majority of Shadows of the Empire is kind of doing that one way or another, be it the Bosch outfit or the Bothans and, you know, the Death Star plans and all of that, or just like a lot of fucking background faff. But there's something about the way Shadows of the Empire did it, and maybe it was just that they were like the first that they were able to do that, or they had such an untouched area between Empire and Jedi that they could play.
Yeah.
it feels like, and to this day, I don't know what the current canon is for how the fuck and what happened between those movies, but Shadows still kind of works and makes sense, especially since they've reintroduced the Black Sun and all of that. Why not just say it is and just, you know, don't bother touch it again. You don't have to do it. Or fuck it. Do it with Lego Star Wars. That way, if you need to, you can just be like, doesn't exist. Ha ha! Not canon.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. So yeah, you had this full multimedia blitz and all to sort of test out the apparatus before the prequels came.
Even before the special edition. So there was the remaster in 95, Shadows of the Empire in 96, special edition in 97, 98, and then 99 was the prequel.
Right. Right.
So, you know, like expertly laid out, and it didn't feel like that at the time. It felt like scrambling for like, ooh, they brought back a remastered Star Wars. Finally, I can see it without the scratches and the off coloring. Ooh, yeah. They made a new video game and comic book and book. It's kind of like having a new movie, almost sort of, not really kind of. Ooh, they made a special edition and they're showing it in the theaters. I can finally see Star Wars in the theaters. And if I squint and ignore the new CGI bits, and the jizz song, it's just like the original. And then the prequels. Misa called Jar Jar Binks. Yeah. This went downhill.
You know.
Husin Yusin.
There's an episode of actually one of the early ones where somebody was on there and he talked about how he ruined this video game. He would go online and play this game and he would do the Jar Jar voice the whole time.
Oh,
and
God.
Being like, is somebody gonna die?
And is stuff somebody like that. Gonna die? Terrible.
Oh my God. But Star Wars, I will say this. When it comes to specific fandoms, I will say Star Wars can be one of the worst.
Oh, easily.
Because, you know, like, there are some shitty fandoms out there, and there are some that come close to Star Wars, but Star Wars drove Jake Lloyd out of the business.
almost killed Ahmed Best
to suicide.
Yeah.
Bullied Kelly Marie Tran off social media, and it's just like, man, like, how much control do you think Kelly Marie Tran, like, what the fuck? Like, I don't care if you like Rose Tico or not, but what the hell?
I know.
Like, your problem is not with her. Your problem is not with Ahmad Best. Your problem is not with Jake Lloyd. Well, anyway,
it's different.
Anyway, fucking Star Wars fans, man.
But yeah, it's an odd thing where, like, either you remember, quite frankly, you can separate Shadows of the Empire into two, the responses to Shadows of the Empire into two camps. Either you're too young and you don't remember Shadows of the Empire. There's no reason for you to have known Shadows of the Empire. You didn't play N64. And you came about in the age of the prequel and the Clone Wars era.
Right.
In which case, yeah, Shadows of the Empire has nothing to do with any of this shit. Like, right. Or you remember what it was like. You were there. You read Shadows of the Empire. You played Shadows of the Empire. And you remember that at the time, there was so little new Star Wars, at least, you know, even at like the level of having like a new video game, and it happens to be tied to a book. I can do two things at once. Three things if I have a comic book. Four if I have toys. Oh, my God. It felt like the most tepid, off-tasting glass of water after wandering the desert.
Yeah.
You know, it. Looking back, it's not necessarily the best, and I completely understand why, one, it's not canon, two, there are entire generations now of Star Wars fans who have no sweet fucking clue what it is.
Yeah. But
at the time, it was everything. It was the temporary leg brace that kept Star Wars going long enough to get to the full-on brand new, like we gave you new knees, they're made of adamantium, and we also juiced you on cocaine. That is the prequels and what Star Wars became after that.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Shadows was really the first, you know, you had books, but the books were the books. And yeah, that was it. Like,
the books took place after. Like,
right.
You know, you got a couple of adventures during. You got a lot of adaptations of the movies. But all of the new books, the big book books that were making waves, all that shit took place after. And, like, yeah, years
and
after.
You generally speaking, like, it was not a new book's coming out. Here's all the action figures of those characters. Like, you know, you weren't going to be at Walmart and see an Admiral Thrawn figure as a general rule, or a Mara Jade or whomever else. You did not have, there were video games, sure, but there was no connection between the book and the video game. There was no connection between the Dark Empire comics and the books and the toys and the video games or any of it. This was the first thing, certainly for my generation of people, because, you know, when you were around during the original trilogy, you had that to a certain extent with like the comics and the action figures and the movies, but then there was nothing like that. You would get like Power of the Force or stuff like that. But this was a full blown fucking event. And it was Spaceballs. It was Shadows of the Empire, the sheet. Shadows of the Empire, the toilet paper. Shadows of the Empire, the video game. Shadows of the Empire, the serial. Shadows of the Empire, fucking everything. And, you know, we're kind of spoiled for that now. But
yeah, exactly. People don't have the necessary like perspective, because there's Star Wars everything to start with now. And yeah, you're so used to their rolling out some new thing, and like, it's like, okay, and this one will have, you know, primary protagonist who appeals to mass market A, then secondary protagonists who appeal to mass market B, and there will be cute character who is merchandisable, and then potentially secondary cute character who is merchandisable. And it's like, it's such an equation now. But at the time, like, first of all, they're just trying to figure that equation out to begin with. But we had never seen anything like that. It felt, and it was, relative for Star Wars, brand fucking new.
Yeah.
And yet, as we said before, it's now integral. This kind of renewal, churn, adapt, adopt, and improve, that's how Star Wars is now. That's how it's just going to keep going. Anytime it runs into a roadblock, it just reapproaches the original Shadows of the Empire formula and goes, okay, well, if we remove this one and put this in place, run it again, oh, now we can make more money.
I will say, I think that's one thing that Shadows of the Empire was missing, was a cute merchandisable character.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. He had an IG-88 droid, which was like a sassy IG-88 droid, or IG whatever droid. That's cool. That's nice. We've seen that done in Star Wars recently as well. A couple of different characters, but none of those characters lasted or became entirely merchandisable. There needed to be either a third character with Dash Rendar, or replace the IG droid. Yeah.
Yeah, you needed a Grogu or a Porg or a Dio or something like that. That you could plaster on stuff, make plushies of, you know, that you could make ornaments of, and on and on and on. Like, yeah. That's what Dash needed. Like, he needed a cute fucking character to offset his 90s grittiness.
And to immediately shortcut the audience to, like, oh, but he's got a heart of gold.
Right. Well, yeah.
He has a two-headed cat. This, it's fine.
He keeps like, you know, this thing around, even though it adds nothing to, yeah, like, what he's actually trying to accomplish. Clearly, but this man has layers.
Right. But also, like, if he finds himself, like, outside the ship and he's pinned down, like a bunch of gangsters have caught up to him and they're about to shoot him in the face, suddenly the cattle just happen to press the right button and blast them all away.
Right. Yeah, of course. You know. Yeah. And,
you know, Star Wars logic.
And... God, it could have been everything it should have been.
Right? We could be in like season 18 or some shit now of the Dash Rendar adventures with Scoopy.
Scoopy.
Scoopy and the Outrider. Then it becomes Scoopy and Friends. Then just Scoopy, then Scoopy Inc., then Scoopy's back.
Yeah. Like, there would be a whole, like, Transformers Rescue Bots style series with Scoopy that would just be like Scoopy's fun time adventures, and then over in the main series, like, Scoopy is addicted to heroin now. And, you know,
you know what, Scoopy should be an Ewok, but like a really grizzled fucking Ewok that's totally hardcore and shit and like murderous, but everyone but still looks cute and adorable as fuck. And that's what's running with Dash. It's just, oh yeah, Dash is hardcore, but like, have you fucking met Scoopy? He'll scoop your eyes out.
It can't be an Ewok. Ewoks are immediately unsettling. But like, yeah, it needs to be something of that general ilk to be like disarming. Yeah. Whatever. Fucking Dash Rendar. Let me write Dash Rendar. Let us write Dash Rendar and make him a fucking like mediocre white guy who fails his way into like being a rebellion hero, and it's just, and meanwhile back at home it's just like, Skip, what are you doing? What are you doing with these people?
I'm Fuck overthrowing, yeah, our oppressive society. Oh, how droll.
Dad, what are you doing here? You're making me look bad to my friends. Oh, God. Fucking Dash Rendar.
Fucking Dash Rendar. And yeah, eventually they'll bring him back full scale as some sort of part and just make oodles and oodles of money.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. Much cash off aging millennials and Gen Xers.
For sure.
Good times. Well, that
or
was
walking
a
wallets.
I mean, come on. You know, who the fuck buys Funko Pops? Not me, but apparently other people.
Yeah.
But so what are we covering next? Speaking of merchandisable nonsense, disposable merchandisable crap.
Next, we're going to talk about Rom the Space Knight, which is kind of a weird one. I'll admit it's one of those that if you're like me, you never really gave a ton of thought to, but that has a deep history.
Like super complicated, super weird, super, super kind of unexpected. Like, to give an idea of the weirdness of Rom the Space Knight, despite Marvel Disney's power at the moment, despite their near megalithic stranglehold over culture, they can't use Rom the Space Knight. So this is a very complicated fucking character.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things of it's got weird rights shit. It's like Micronauts in that it's one of those things that Marvel did a whole lot of comics of it.
It was massive property that never became a massive property.
Right. And so Disney now has rights to certain things, but not the actual character itself. So,
Which can be a little complicated.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that I drool over. yeah. So join us for that. If you're a weirdo like me. In the meantime, you know, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter for as long as that lasts. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You know, email us at multiverseomarketing@gmail.com. And I think that's everything.
I think that's about it. Please like, share, subscribe, and we will see you next time on Multiverse of Marketing.
Oh, your friends. Bye.
Bye.